Hi, this is Reader 7, and I am here today with your heavy metal lover. And we are going to do the interview for Jay's Gone Wild Man of the Week. Welcome, your metal.
Thank you. Thank you, reader. Firstly, thank you for the privilege of interviewing for this esteemed series. Jay's a great pal of mine, but I view her as more of the Letterman. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Letterman. You're more of the Charlie Rose of the Jay Wilds Man of the Week, high discourse. So I am drinking water out of a mug. And thoughtfully changing
Perfect.
positions in my chair as I answer questions. That's why you may hear like creaking and leather chair weird sounds in the background.
Okay,
Thanks for
fair
having me.
enough. Is it sparkling water, though?
It is, yes.
Okay, good. Right. So the first question on my list here is what brought you to GWA?
So I was looking for ASMR that I didn't have to search on YouTube, because on YouTube you have to let the video play, and then if your phone locks, your ASMR goes away and it drains your battery. So then, I came, I was never a Redditor. I had a Reddit account that I've had for 5 years, my main, and it has one karma just because I never use it. And oh, it's the saddest account of all time, my main. Then I went down the Fappet hole, as I'll call it, and I was posting within a few days.
I think that's a pretty common, occurrence of people finding this place. Okay, so where does your name come from? Is there a story behind it?
So, Heavy Metal Lover is a Lady Gaga song. It's about this kind of like bad boy that she parties with, among other things. So, a former lover of mine had put that on her playlist for whenever I came over, and it kind of stuck with me. And it's a real dance and bedroom banger. Check it out. So out and outside of that work or outside of that work outside of work I have kind of that look. Like, I'm like t-shirt and jeans dude. I do have like two full sleeve tattoos, even though I work like a really dorky professional job. And back then, I did look and act like an idiot degenerate that she was singing about in the song. So there's the name. There's your boy Metal's name.
All right. Why do you like doing audios?
At first, it was, I want to be a pervert on the internet to release some stress, frustration, whatever. And it was kind of cathartic in the beginning. I got to do that. It's what I needed to do at the time. But I guess as a performer, and I really hesitate to call myself a performer because I'm just a dude. Just a dude talking dirty into a phone or a jerking off into a microphone. I view it differently. I actually had some introspective time where I realized my improv stuff that I do, as I do really all improv, it was a lot like the jazz improv stuff I used to play. And sadly, I haven't kept up on music as a hobby as much as I'd like, with like work and life and stuff. But like music to me is really visceral, like kind of how like sex. And I kind of have the same reaction like as like ripping off a 32 bar like jazz trombone solo, as I do when I make a 17 minute like ramble fap narrative that I manage to like nail the fap and nail the narrative. It just feels so good. Or when like you're weaving like a 35 minute plot point, that are plot points that lead to analingus or whatever, aside from recording, why do I like doing the audios? Really, the listener engagement and like having fun in delivering the content is awesome. So I mentioned my dorky job. You know, in my job, I work on really complex projects that suck. Work sucks. That's why they have to pay us to do it, of course. But this is kind of like a project that I can develop end to end and have a tangible, satisfying, and hopefully orgasm-inducing product. So like all my silly taglines and like my trademark symbols and all that crap are kind of, it's a little bit of like a this like tongue in cheek. And now I'll get to the Charlie Rose level of discourse. So listeners may want to turn off. Like all my silly like trademark shit that I do, it's kind of like, you know, it's a commentary on maybe the objectification of just being a voice on the internet. Maybe content is just a commodity or just a masturbation commodity. And really, most of all, I just think using the in a non-business context, using those symbols is really funny. And I'm just having fun, really. So that's on my main, I follow Data is Beautiful. And what I do is I call what I do big data fapolitics. So I started a subreddit rather than a pro just my profile because I can get like the viewership and like listen like more like listenership statistics, and you know I can track timed releases for different time zones, you know do all of that stuff, you know waking up early and hoping you have the sort new for that Saturday or Sunday morning sex audio, you know like if your boy Metal wants to be up there with that emoji. In you know in his tagline, so you see it and you click on it. So you know, and I'm a relatively new person, so hey, you got to stick out somehow. Jay told me she didn't because of my username, like your heavy metal lover. She didn't listen to my audios for like a month and a half. She's just like, I didn't like your username. So it's another reason why Jay. I'm glad Jay's not interviewing me. But you know, I'm sorry, you know, and you have to understand too, reader, you have to understand there's like a 12, 24, and a 36-hour FAP cycle, right? You know,
Really?
yeah, so you
Okay.
really have to time those releases depending on what you're doing, you know? So now I'm just turning this into like a Rachel Maddow interview. So
I'm learning so much though. Go
bottom
ahead.
line listener, my dear listeners, is that I care about you and I don't half-ass anything, including my GWA content. So if it's a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning and I'm up at 5:30 jerking off into a microphone to get you your content when you wake up, just know, hey, I'm thinking of you.
That's dedication.
And yeah, I guess. Or just really bad attention whoring. But really though, I'll finish this question, this line of questioning up with, and really like seriously, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, a few things in my life have kind of affected my self-esteem. And you're laughing at my self-esteem.
I'm not.
Okay, no. So, which you know, I've kind of struggled with my entire life. A lot of us do, you know, a lot of us struggle with that. So, and it's not something to me that's like it might not be outwardly visible. I'm like, you know, your middle management MBA that wears a, you know, a lanyard with a badge on it every day, you know, all that crap. But you know, doing this and like the comments and encouragement I've received has been a boost. Not only, you know, from just like the comments on my audios and PMs, but you know, from all the friends, much like you, reader, that you know, in the community that I talk to quite frequently.
Good answer. Okay. Well, the next question is what kinds of audios do you do? Which you touched on a little bit, but did you want to go into more detail on
I'll
that?
always go into more detail because once you get me talking, as listeners who have listened to my audio or any of the shit posts I've made on my subreddit know that I just never shut up. And people can just turn it off if they want to stop listening. So what kind of audios do I do? I tag my stuff BFE a lot. I guess I'm like sappy BFE performer. because I think maybe on GWA, and this isn't a derogatory thing, but I think when you treat your implied partner as a person, that makes it like boyfriendy. And I've had, mm-hmm. but you know, I've had one night stands, hookups, friends with benefits, where I've had nothing in common, and we could at least find something to talk about, you know, ask about their day, mm-hmm. how they're doing. Is their husband out of jail yet? Am I safe? You know, I could always make pillow talk mm-hmm. with people. So I guess that makes me the BFE guy. But I do, you know, and I understand, and I like to do other kinds of audio. You know, I like to do the hot, nasty, straight to it stuff. And I'm not performer mm-hmm. bashing any other performers, just more of my style is like the BFE. And I did just release a series today as we record this, you know, as this will play later. I'm releasing the InstaFaps series because okay. I woke up with a hard on and I was like, wait, I can deliver a ramble fap almost every day. That's easy. How easy is that for a guy with recording equipment and 5 minutes in the morning? So I like getting creative with it. Posting all this crap on my subreddit and seeing if people listen to it and like it. I view it as like it's like coffee in the morning. You can have like your coffee and you can listen to a metal ramble. It's the perfect way to start every day. Your dirty, flirty digital boy jerking off in your ear while you're reading the New York Times.
You've branched out a little bit also with some of the more, you talked about that in separate audios, but you're doing more than just the straight BFE stuff lately.
Yeah, you're exactly. So I tend to be more of, in real life, a sexually assertive person. Mm-hmm. And I like to, you know, I tend to control like the sexual energy of that dynamic, you know, with your partner. But I'm kind of like, but I love like a flow, like back and forth, like during the act. And for the sake of the goddamn GWA tags, I'll say I'm a like gentle MDOM audios are fun to do. If I did the kind of audio I'd like, then they'd all be 90 minutes and involve the switch tag about 30 times. I'm doing my longer stuff on my subreddit anyway, and that's okay. That's its own thing. So, you know, I do enjoy that. That's kind of like me. Okay. It's kind of like me in real life, but I kind of like actual like sex to be like me versus like FDOM, and we just like, you know, you're like slugging it out, and you know, it's. It's like the Battle of Stalingrad, you know, it's really for any history buffs out there, it gets raw.
Yes. Okay. Okay. What kinds of audios are your favorite?
So my favorite to listen to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my favorite to listen to, definitely improv. Raw, okay. authentic expressions of sexuality. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's kind of what I do in my audio. That's kind of what kind of performer I am, I guess. Or that's my GWA mm-hmm. journey. So I can relate to that kind of performance, and I appreciate it. I wouldn't say second favorite. But an audio, like, I really enjoy listening to questionnaire fills. Like, it's fun to get to know people, you know, once you've like listened to it once and you don't care about what they're, you don't not care about what they're saying, but you already know what they're going to say. Like, for me, it's got that ASMR-y, like nice to sleep to kind of things. Or I might put on an erotic audio that it's a performer with a more soothing, gentle, like comforting voice. To me, I don't know why I just don't go over to PTA. I guess I'm just too loyal to the GWA brand. But,
there's a lot of crossover there, though. You know.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. I have friends who are big over there.
So you're not, you know, being disloyal or anything.
Yeah, I could just go over there and be squishy for a while.
That's cool. There you go.
I might do that if I get some time.
Yeah, if you run out of things to make for GWA, then you can.
That's never going to happen.
I know. Oh, it's a good thing. Okay. Are there any voices or accents you can do?
Reader 7, I'll sell you video cassette recorder. Western bootleg VHS tapes. Highest quality. What do you say, huh? Can we be making the deals? 5,000 rubles. No? 4,000? I'll stick with just like the bad Eastern European Warsaw Pact accent.
Awesome. Was not expecting that.
So I'm gonna start actually accent tagging my audios. Slack-jawed Midwestern Rube accent. And again, I'm not performer shaming, but I'm just jealous that I have a boring and unsophisticated voice. So it's just me being a
Oh,
hater. But you know, with that
right there
tag,
with.
oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say, right there with you,
Yeah.
Midwestern. We have no accent.
It's terrible. But you know, with that tag, I'm gonna throw it out there. And you know, Ginger Baker, the drummer from Cream, he was hanging out with Jimmy Page and Robert Plant and talking about musical ideas. And Jimmy and Robert were like, "Hey, we're thinking about doing this band." And Ginger Baker said to the, something to the extent of, "It's either going to be huge or it's going to sink like a Led Zeppelin." And we all know what happened there, but I think it will actually be like the actual Led Zeppelin, and listenership would plummet.
We will see. Do you have any other accents that you do besides the
I
Eastern?
have a lot of them. I just listened to F
Okay.
though, F's Man of the Week, H and F, and I can't
Oh,
compete with
yeah.
that. So I'm just gonna, I mean, he just cracks me up. I really hope he does that old man voice,
That was
erotic
great.
audio. I'll just put that thing on loop. It'd be fantastic.
I am so jealous of people who can do stuff like that. Okay. Why do you comment and PM on others' audios? You are very good at that. You always have nice comments or productive or good things to say.
Well,
So why do you do that?
yeah, so through, you know, through GWA, I've really learned like the value of encouragement. So, you know, like if someone, you know, puts it all out there, and maybe you listen to something and it's maybe not like the tags aren't your thing, but they executed it really well. Or it was someone who, you know, maybe it was a pal of mine who like stepped out of their comfort zone and did something. And like just encouragement when you do something like that, like just a small comment can mean, you know, so much to people. So that's my GWA PSA. That's the more you come with the rainbow at the end. You know, and so if you took the time to make it and I liked it and I appreciated how you achieved your performance, objectives, your aims. Even if it wasn't my style, hey, I'll upvote it. I'll comment, you know. You should be acknowledged.
Sure. That's fair. Why would you like comments and PMs from your audios?
You know, really, every comment legitimately makes me feel good. Even the very rare, maybe like one like weird comment I've received, I was like, hey, well, at least they took the time to leave a comment. And I really like the flirting that I do in my comments. You know, it's fun. And you know, and it's cool, you know, if it's a performer you really like and you've commented on their audio, like if they comment back and you have a little exchange, that's fun, isn't it? Like that makes me feel really good when I comment on a performer that I like or really admire on their stuff, and like they respond. I'm like, oh, wow. Cool, I'm having a little dialogue. So, you know, it's fun. And I don't get a lot of PMs, and I'm assuming a lot of guys, this rank and file are nobodies. You know, we don't get many. And that's cool because of the experience of many of the lady performers I know, and some of the things that they go through on a daily dick pic basis. But that being said, the best PMs for me are like a thank you. I had a really hard week and this audio helped me decompress. Or like where I've like helped someone out with something in their life and I just know they made their life a little bit better. Like making someone feel good on a human level, because I'm stressed out and anxious all the time. And it's great to be able to give someone like comfort from that. Mm-hmm. And a close second behind those PMs are the you made me come like nobody has in my life. Your voice smashed my brain in with orgasmic bliss. You're the greatest. I gilded your post. Marry me, metal. Those are a close second.
Okay.
And then like PMs that are fun, like people who are working on their English or people who have like a little request or whatever, or I've made the Midwestern Rube accent just a complete turn on for them whenever they hear it. So also I will say important PMs, very important PMs. Like if I haven't been inclusive or like slipped and said something that made anyone feel uncomfortable, I really like that feedback. That makes me helps make me, you know, a better content producer. So I also have an anonymous feedback form that people can either say like really nasty things to me and I won't know who you are, or people have actually said some stuff that's helped me create better audio. So that's my, you know, your heavy metal lover disclaimer and request for comment.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, I think the anonymous form is a great idea, so good job on that.
Thank you.
Do you have any special skills you want to showcase,
reader? We sound like we're together, but we're remote. Let's keep this semi-safe for work.
Okay. Not like, well, I guess it could be any special skill that you would like to tell the listeners about.
I'm an unremarkable human being. I mean, I'm an excellent, I have a photographic, I have a nearly like a photographic memory, and I can clear out like a double, I can usually clear out a double Jeopardy board aside from maybe like five questions. You know, I'm watching that stuff every day, keeping the mind sharp. I mean, I am getting dumber. I'm missing more and more as I age, but yeah, I'm like a trivia dork, like a scholar bowl kid from back in high school. So that's if you need a trivia teammate, like bar trivia or a trivia night, Metal's your man there with Central Asian capitals. Yeah.
Good to know. All right. What is one little known fact about you or your audios that you wish more people knew?
I guess I touched on it earlier, but maybe it's the whole release timing things. As you know, this is a primarily English language subreddit, and I mean, it is a .com. Reddit is a .com. I peg my release times to U.S. Eastern time, you know, large population centers. That's where I, you know, time zones and large population centers. That's how I time my audio releases. So I think for each audio, depending upon the type of audio, you know, maybe it's a nice squishy morning sex BFE, or maybe I'm getting really nasty with you in an MDOM scenario. Like, when would someone want to hear it? And when would someone want it coming up in their feed? You know, so I put a lot of time and effort into that. There's a lot of me, like, again, jerking off into a mic, creating, editing, bagging it, tagging it, and getting it out to you very, very early in the mornings, especially on weekends. You know, and I do, of course, minimal editing. That's why you hear mic scratches, pops, and feedback. But I do my best. I'm a busy guy, so you know.
Well, I think I speak for all of the listeners in saying that we appreciate your dedication
Well, thank
to
you.
your craft.
Thank you very much. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. What is your dream audio to receive or listen to?
So my dream audios to receive are audios that people create of them masturbating to themselves listening to my audio. Those are my favorite audios to listen to.
Sure. Response audios.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And what is your dream audio to produce?
I don't know. I don't know how much I can say about this, but I'll go ahead and drop it now. I don't know when this man of the week is going to come out, but let's just say this. Fapception coming December 25th. You'll see a big push during the holiday season, you know, for this stuff, but it's all about that branding. Hashtag Fapception.
We'll be on the lookout for that.
Be on the lookout for it. It's going to be huge.
Interesting.
That's all I can say at the moment, though.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, thank you for the exclusive on that. Okay. What do you want for yourself in producing audios, and where do you see them going from here?
I want just better overall quality. And as I kind of, you know, build, Your Heavy Metal Studios into an actual thing. So better quality. So it sounds good. Better like narrative stuff. I like to do the more as like, as a dude, I never thought I would be saying I want to produce long form erotic audio, like New Yorker length, like the New Yorker articles of erotic audio. But like, I was making one of like the dates series that I'm doing, and I'm working on, I posted them on GWA, but I realized most people don't want to see that shit. So I'm just going to put it on my subreddit. But like, I went on one for like 45 minutes. I'm like, Jesus, I could have done like an hour and a half on this. So, just better narrative and always being like truer to myself. You know, like when you're a newer performer and, you know, as I always say, when you play to the tags, you play yourself. I try not to like play to tags anymore. Just do what I want to do. The things like Instafaps that I'm doing now. You know, I want to do more stuff like that. I want to just get like creative content to you guys, be it like erotic or non-erotic. I want to be your, not one-stop shop, because no one jerks off to the same thing every day. Unless you're a super fan, which I do appreciate, but whenever you come by my little, you know, neck of the, deep dark woods, you know, you'll have a good user experience.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. And what have you learned so far from being on GWA?
I'll summarize it with this. GWA is the world's sexiest support group.
Nicely put. Okay. On that note, we are to the naughty questions.
All right.
And the first one of those is, how has GWA changed your view on specific kinks or sex in general?
So do I have to answer these in my sexy voice? Or no?
You don't have to, okay. But you can.
No, I want this to be an all gender inclusive podcast or whatever these things are. You know, it's prompted me to challenge perceptions and think about some of the kinks, you know, that aren't mine, you know, a little bit more. And, you know, I'm kind of, again, I'm a dork. So I get to thinking about these things, you know, because the tags are always in your face while you're just scrolling through the feed.
Right.
So to really like understand and like talking to people with different kinks or fetishes, like why they have that fetish and why they feel that way, or explaining to someone else how, you know, you may have a fetish or a kink, and what makes that kink or fetish tick, if you will. And when someone's always, you know, willing to share, that's a really like brave and an awesome thing.
Okay. The next question. I hate to ask, but I'm going to for humor's sake. Are you a virgin?
No, I'm okay. Not.
Okay. I think we've established that, but it's on the list, so. Okay. What is your best sex story?
Okay, so now for the purposes of the interview, dear reader, are we talking like a hot sex story, a funny sex story? You know, what kind of story do we want? How not safe for work do we want to get here? Choose your adventure and choose it wisely.
This just says best sex story. I don't think we have to worry about being not safe for work because this is GWA. But
okay, so
it's up to you.
For a prolonged period of my life, I engaged in we'll call it sustained compulsive hypersexual behavior. Hey guys, no. I'm a very damaged man. But I have lots of stories. So I guess the hottest sex story I had, or one of the most enjoyable experiences, is I had two separate lovers, and they would, I guess, be considered cougars, which is definitely hot. And we kind of got to talking, and I introduced them, and we decided that we would have ourselves a nice little threesome. And, you know, 6 hours later, the best sex story of my life has been crafted in my head, and that's all we'll say about that right now.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good one. All right. Did the condom ever break on you? And what did you do?
So I always ensure I invest in quality condoms. Personally, I recommend Trojan Ecstasy for fit and feel. It's worth the extra few bucks. When I was a kid, like with my first girlfriend, you know, I was like when I had like a condom that I carried around in my wallet. And that I'd probably had for like a year and a half. So it broke, but it broke kind of like when we started. So, you know, there was no tag cream pie or anything like that. And we were both virgins. So no, well, not virgins at the time, but previous to. So no diseases transferred. So fortunately it was a lower risk breakage.
Gotcha. Okay. Have you ever had a crazy mess, and what was it?
Jesus Christ.
I did not write these questions, by the way. So
this is something that I mentioned in a questionnaire, Phil. So one time I hooked up with a girl with a disability, and she had a prosthetic at the hip. So we did our thing, and the whole scene ended with an external and it was substantial.
Okay.
And she'd taken off her prosthetic, and you know, I offered to like help her put it back on, or to help get her, you know, into the bathroom so I could help her with a bath or a shower and give her some I guess aftercare. And since it was kind of like such a mess, she just told me, just go home, just leave. I'm like, and people know me, like I'm a nice guy. I'm like, hey, you know, you want me to lock the front door? She's like, no, she's like, just just leave. Just go.
Just go. Aw. okay. Well, you kind of did this already, but do you want to tell us about your first time?
When just the tip goes too far and your parents are in the next room. And that's pretty much, you know, really? How it went.
Wow. Okay. All right. That is all of the pre-planned questions there are. Shit. We got through those pretty quickly. Okay. So some of the extra ones.
The curveballs and sliders, here they come.
Yeah. Not too bad. So you mentioned you have tattoos. Would you tell us about them? What are they, and do they have special significance to you?
Most of them do have special significance to me. So my my right arm is mostly done in like space stuff, as I'm kind of a space dork. I have like a big U.S. space and I have a full sleeve on my right arm, and my left arm I have like a 3/4 sleeve now, and I'm getting it filled, the rest of my arm filled in around Christmas time. But my right arm is mostly space stuff. I have like a Yuri Gagarin tattoo, like, you know, first man in space. I have a really, like, I wish I could share like photos of this, but I just got it done. I love Art Nouveau. Like, I love Alphonse Mucha. So I have like, I worked on a design with an artist. It's like an Alphonse Mucha girl, but she's in a space suit and is holding a space helmet, and her hair is like flowing out. It's a really, really dope tattoo. I really, really like it. But in my left arm is mostly, so my right arm is space and my left arm is science. And I mean, this is where like metal gets real dorky. I have a 3/4 length tattoo of a Mandelbrot fractal set, because after I read Stephen Hawking's The Universe in a Nutshell, I realized that I didn't know dick about anything, and that really people didn't as a whole. But it's delightfully paradoxical that the more you learn and the more you know, especially about things like cosmology and science and astrophysics, the more you realize you don't know. So I read that book, and I had that thought in my head, and I'm like, how do I represent that? And then it clicked for me. Fractal geometry, like, you can look at it on like the line graph, like that you would see in math class, and it looks like a shape. But if you zoom in on it, and you keep zooming and zooming, it, the more you look at it, the more complex the design becomes. So I have like a big graph, and then I have like, just look up Mandelbrot fractal, everyone, listeners, Google that. And I have that on one of my arms. I have another Julia fractal set. I have the flag of my home city. And I have one that I got while I was really drunk in New Orleans. And thankfully, my regular artist touched it up and made it actually look really cool. I also have maybe my dorkiest tattoo of all of my dorky tattoos. God, we're going to need to edit this down.
No.
I have like a mathematical representation, the graph of a black hole. So it looks kind of like a funnel, and then the funnel opens up on the other end, so it's symmetrical, and on the other on the other end, a double helix of DNA is blasting out of it. So it's kind of like the whole thing. There's like a theory that on the other side of every black hole, like, it's one of like those weird multiverse things. I also have a Carl Sagan tattoo on my right arm, so that's the kind of person I am. It's kind of on the other side of every black hole, there's a white hole that's like spewing out mass into like a mini big bang into another universe. So the DNA was like, maybe that's what our big bang was, like some universe collapsing in on itself and then, you know, blowing all of its shit out the other side. And that's what we turned. That's where we came from. I thought that was a pretty cool tattoo idea. It's another one I'd love to show a photo of because I'm very proud of how it turned out. Yeah. I'll stop now. I have a lot of, I've had like 70 hours of tattoo work done. I've got a lot of stuff. Wow.
That's so, a lot.
Yeah. So
very, very cool though. So do you think that we're alone in this universe?
No, I don't. I don't think that we're alone in this universe. Don't get me talking about the Fermi paradox now, because that's that's a big one. That's the okay. the mathematical equation that, you know, Enrico Fermi and other physicists of his time, where they actually made they turned this into a problem. Like these, like the level of thinking that these people have is astounding. Mm-hmm. That right. a certain amount of societies, and they assigned a value, like our society, we have, like human beings have devised a means to destroy ourselves. We have enough nuclear weapons that we could essentially either destroy our society or set it back, you know, like 8,000 years or something like mm-hmm. that. So in order to be like a spacefaring society, you would have to really like go a long way and have some, either have like an incredible scientific breakthrough or mm-hmm. not have like destroyed yourselves by that time. And, you know, if people are, I think people, we're getting close. We probably will. And we had a good run. You know, we're just animals too. I mean, we had a pretty solid run. But only a certain amount of those societies would make it. And they made a math problem about that. It's called, and it's called the Fermi paradox, that the more advanced a society gets, the more likely it is to, like, blow itself up. Like, the universe, if it's, like, infinitely big, there's got to be... I would hope there's someone else out there, but so I don't believe that we're alone, but I also don't believe that people are getting anally probed outside of like GWA.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. And my last question for you is, besides just plain fuck, what is your favorite curse?
You know, just plain fuck. It's really just an old throwback of God damn it. Just like a very frustrated God damn it. And that's the vanilla BFE in me coming out. It's all right, but like the feeling that you can convey and just that the God damn it. You know, like when you do it like that, it's I'm gonna have to normalize this on my end. Man, I've been like talking at weird volumes. But no, that's probably what I say the most, just because I'm at work too, and you can get away with like a God damn it instead of like, you know, a motherfucker or, you know, the smattering of things I could go on with. You can get away with a God damn it on a conference. Every third conference call, you can get a God damn it in. Like, if it's shit, I mean, shit, you have to save once every 3 weeks for meetings, you know, in conference calls. Mm-hmm. But if it's a God damn it, you know, you can use multiple throughout the day. Those are my thoughts on swearing.
And there's a spreadsheet on that somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah. I think I have it saved somewhere.
Oh, well, this has been fun.
It has been, Rita. It was great talking to you and to all of you who listen and have questions or comments. Or, you know, just want to comment on the strange train wreck of your heavy metal lover. I look forward to those. Thanks so much for having me, Reader. And GWA.
Thank you for doing this.
Backstage.
And thanks to you.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.